always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Just days before Christmas and Hanukkah, former President Bill Clinton has been admitted to a hospital. CBS's Ed O'Keefe with the latest.
A spokesman says the 78-year-old former president was admitted to Georgetown University Medical Center in Washington Monday afternoon for testing and observation after developing a fever. He remains in good spirits and deeply appreciates the excellent care he's receiving, the spokesman said.
Clinton, who is 78, was also hospitalized for an infection that reached his blood in 2021, but was released after 6 days. He underwent quadruple heart bypass surgery in 2004. Matt Gaetz filed a lawsuit to stop the release of the House Ethics Committee's report on him, but failed. CBS's Scott McFarlane on some of what's in that report on the former Republican Florida congressman and one-time choice to be President-elect Donald Trump's attorney general.
The U.S. House Ethics Committee, which first launched an investigation of Gaetz 3 years ago, has issued a 42-page report of its findings, alleging they found evidence Gaetz paid a 17-year-old girl who just completed her junior year in high school $400 for sex in 2017 and made payments of more than $90,000 to 12 different women, likely for sexual activity and drug use.
Gaetz has denied any wrongdoing. The alleged killer of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson has pleaded not guilty in New York to state charges, including first-degree murder as an act of terrorism. More on Luigi Mangione from CBS's Lilia Luciano.
He's simultaneously facing federal charges that could carry the death penalty if convicted. Mangione's defense attorney, Karen Friedman Agnifilo, accused Mayor Eric Adams of politicizing the 26-year-old's arrest after a dramatic perp walk with heavily armed officers last week.
Meteorologist Craig Allen says a weather system could affect travel between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day on the East Coast.
There will be a mix of rain, sleet, freezing rain, and some snow up and down 95 from Washington through Philadelphia and Baltimore. It includes the New York City area. There could be a touch of snow for Christmas Eve morning on Tuesday for the New York City area.
Wind, atmospheric rivers, and mountain snow from San Francisco to Seattle could create travel problems over the next week. The TSA expects nearly 40 million people will fly to their holiday destination, and as CBS's Stacey Lynn explains...
Remember, there are certain things you can't fly with. A passenger at LAX tried to board a flight recently with a bag filled with prohibited items. TSA shared a pic on social media of the carry-on bag that belonged to a woman traveling to Philadelphia. It contained 82 consumer-grade fireworks, two replica firearms, three knives, and a canister of pepper spray.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
It's the Packers and the Saints. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the New Orleans Saints tonight on Monday Night Football, game time 7:15. I talked to Packers linebacker Edgerrin Cooper over the weekend after winning his second NFC Defensive Player of the Week award.
It's a big accomplishment. It's just simple. I keep saying it, but I'm just here to play football, have fun out there, and do what's best for my team.
The Saints will start rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler. Has he ever played in cold weather like Green Bay before?
I haven't played a snow game, but I've played in many cold games before in the Big 12, even in the SEC. Cold, rainy, windy.
College hoops, the Badgers with a non-conference win over Detroit Mercy, 76-53. Head coach Greg Gard working with shooter John Tanjay in his technique.
You just got to keep giving him sample sizes and experience and point those things out. We need him to continue to be more efficient at a high level more consistently.
That's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In trying to make Christmas sexy news, Kim Kardashian has put out a new music video. The reality TV personality released a video under her brother-in-law Travis Barker's label. She used a breathy version of her own rendition of Santa Baby, one of the worst Christmas songs ever, and put images of herself crawling through a party in a blonde wig and skin-colored jeggings. I'm not sure if she realizes it either, but her cleavage was totally showing. I'm sure she's going to give that editor an earful. In the video, there's a donkey, Mary and Joseph, people fighting, people raking money, money and a bonfire while people play Twister. For what seems like an eternity, Kim crawls through the chaos with her own singing as a backdrop until she finally stops between Santa's legs and looks up to find it's really Macaulay Culkin. The only good thing about the video is that her singing mercifully stops along with the music about midway through, so it's just her crawling with weird images. It's just something you have to see for yourself, folks. You can check it out free on YouTube, but you'll still want your money back. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, low pretty close to 20. Tomorrow, more clouds hanging around, highs upper 20s. Cloudy Christmas Day, high low 30s. A cloudy sky for Thursday, a high in the upper 30s. Rain possible Friday and Saturday as highs nudge to near 40. Right now it's 31.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm on a little bit of a break, but not to worry. Host of Amicus, Jim Santel, guest host next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, later on in the show, we got William Manti on the University of Minnesota to address and discuss disparities and perspectives from our Native American communities in research for dementia. And that's really interesting, Haley. Never really thought about this, and I'm glad we're going to be talking about it.
Yeah, we talk a lot about like not finding culturally specific resources, and this. Well, I feel like we talk about that in like mental health, we have Strong Hearts Native Helpline, which is like a domestic violence helpline. And we have NAC, which does dental and medical stuff. And we have Indian Health Board here in Minneapolis that does a wide array of things. But when we talk about, you know, more specific diagnoses such as like Alzheimer's or dementia, it could be really hard to find culturally specific care or a provider. That's American Indian. So,
yeah,
when it comes to like doing research for dementia and Alzheimer's, I guess like, it's hard for people to even find studies or find statistics when it comes to American Indians.
Right. Because of the small percentage of people that we are, and we're something else. And a lot of people's, people don't remember, we were a statistic called something else in a couple president polls ago or elections ago.
That.
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
I got to get my shirt out.
Yeah, there you go. All your good T-shirts. Dr. Stately will be joining us for this conversation as well. Dr. Anthony Stately of Native American Community Clinic. So it's Native American Heritage Month. And this is actually, I learned about this Dr. Will Manti, who was doing research on Native American communities, specifically Ojibwe communities. And he kind of researched like, so I don't know how much you know about dementia, but apparently, like, visual hallucinations are common. Did you know that?
No, yeah. I didn't. Okay. And I also, and I don't know how accurate this is, but I also heard it's like another form of diabetes too, that they're saying that, I've just heard that, and that we'll have to get it clarified by the doctors, but, you know what it says when you read something on Facebook or any social media?
Oh, geez.
It's like, don't believe half of what you read, and then it's signed by Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Something wild.
Have you ever seen that?
No, not that specific one.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, ooh, got me twice. Yeah, but, so that's questions we can ask, because it's one interesting thing too, Haley, I'm curious about, because of our lifespan is not that long as Native Americans, if it just hasn't been diagnosed because we don't live that long.
Yeah, I think that was definitely a point in his study. I was kind of looking over his research articles. And yeah, it talked about like our lifespan being a lot shorter. And then I think there's also could be like a correlation between prolonged alcohol use and like early onset Alzheimer's or dementia from that as well. But specifically, he was doing research with Ojibwe cultures and going back to the visual hallucinations. You know, sometimes those are part of our spirituality. Like we talk about seeing dreams or having visions, like about healing, like the jingle dress, how the jingle dress was created came from a vision. So it's important to kind of address certain cultural ties like spirituality and how that differs to like a more clinical diagnosis such as Alzheimer's or dementia.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Because I've been in ceremonies and I've seen things and I haven't drank in 40 years. So
right.
It's a really interesting point that you make there too.
Yeah. So I'm excited to talk to Will and Dr. Stately about it, and just want to shout out Happy Native American Heritage Month to everyone out there.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I saw some pictures that you were, I didn't see you doing any round dancing, but I saw you at the round dance.
Yeah, I did go to the round dance. That was, who was that for? That was a round dance Saturday night at the Bell Museum in St. Paul.
Yeah, it was for Minnesota, University of Minnesota students put that on.
Yeah, the American Indian Student Cultural Center at the U of M.
Yeah.
They hosted a really beautiful round dance at the Bell Museum, and I had not been to like the new Bell Museum location in St. Paul. I guess I just been to the old one. like school field trips and stuff, but it was beautiful. Senator Mary Kunish was there to support, along with representatives Heather Keeler and Leish Kozlowski. Heather did drag me up and to do the Lili contest with her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was tons of fun.
I noticed too, you, make your own ribbon skirts, correct?
I've made a couple so far, but I do like to support other artists and,
but you wearing one that you made?
No, the one that I wore this weekend was made, I'm forgetting her first and last name, but it's Standing Bear Designs. I bought it at the Four Sisters Farmers Market.
Oh, because I know the one that you made, you had pockets in, and I saw that Representative Keeler had pockets in hers, and I went, oh, you probably are the only two out there supporting pockets in your ribbon dress.
There's a lot more than you would think, and I'm actually really thankful that more artists are putting pockets in their ribbon skirts, because that's just like something I need to do with my hands at all times, or like put my phone in or put my wallet in, and don't have to carry around a purse or something. I just got those big old pockets in my ribbon skirt.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
What did you do?
I can't wait until you figure out how to make me a few ribbon shirts.
Yeah. They had two contests. There was a best ribbon shirt and best ribbon skirt.
Oh.
And it was great inspiration, to create some other things and get some other shirts going or skirts.
Well, you know,
I'm so creative.
I'm kind of down on the weather here. Today's the best I've felt in a couple of weeks, believe it or not. And last night, nobody really cares about this, but this is me talking to my niece, went to bed really early and I woke up feeling the best I have in a long time.
Hey, that's important. That's, you know, that speaks volumes on what a good night's rest will do to you.
Yeah. Plus, it also speaks volumes that I run around a little too much.
Hey,
I gotta slow down a little bit.
Yeah. Good to take a rest and get your energy back up. for sure.
Yeah. Well, what else did you do this weekend? I know the round dance was happening, and also, well, we got some stuff coming up too here with the full moon coming this past weekend, or this past weekend.
Yeah, so I was kind of in debate with a other girlfriend of mine, and we were like, oh, well, there's, you know, the full moon. I think it's the super beaver moon, and this is like the time of year where beavers start to make their winter lodges. But I know NAC, Native American Community Clinic, did their full moon ceremony last Friday, and I kind of noticed that the full moon peaked around Saturday. But the American Indian Family Center in St. Paul is doing their full moon ceremony tonight at Belwyn, and I believe that started at 5.
Oh.
But it goes a few hours if you still want to make it over there.
Hey, that moon is huge, too. I took a picture of it today on my walk. And,
beautiful.
It is beautiful.
That grandmother moon.
Hey, just one last thing, too, before we go to break. We got the snotty nose. Are you guys going to that?
The Snotty Nose Res Kids. I can't. It's my Gaga's birthday Thursday, but should be a fun show.
Take her along.
Yeah, it might be a little too rowdy and hip-hoppy for Gaga, but
I know it'd be too loud for me because I'm old, but hey, I've gone to a lot of loud concerts. Now I'm getting fitted for a hearing aid. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
See you in a bit.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
Researchers across the country, including in your area, are conducting a study that can include you or people you know. The calcium and vasopressin following injury early resuscitation trial, or simply CAVALIER, is a research study that will look at whether giving two different drugs, calcium, vasopressin, or both, early in the course of treatment, would help severely injured patients that lose a lot of blood survive their injuries. To be included, a person must have trauma injuries that cause large amounts of blood loss and need to receive blood. Because treating traumatic injuries with blood loss is an emergency, there may not be time to give consent before giving the calcium, vasopressin, or both. Most people will be too severely injured to give informed consent, and families are usually not available in time. However, researchers will notify people enrolled and give them detailed information about the study as soon as possible after they arrive to the hospital. For more information or to opt out of this study, please visit their website at lightsnetwork.org/cavalier or call their toll-free number at 1-800-664-0557.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have Associate Professor William Manti on from the University of Minnesota to address and discuss some disparities and perspectives from our Native American communities in the research for dementia. I want to just say a big welcome and thank you so much, Will, for coming on.
Be here.
Oh, well, welcome. Hey, I got a few questions here, and Haley and I were talking a little bit before you came on how interesting this is, and I know I'd love you to tell us, you know, what is Alzheimer's and what is dementia? You know, what are the differences, if there's any, or if it's words or what? And again, welcome.
Yeah,
news tonight. Yeah, again, thanks for having me.
Because even a lot of physicians still, you know, it's a confusing term to say dementia and Alzheimer's disease, because for the longest time they were used interchangeably. You know, if you said someone had Alzheimer's, it was the same as saying someone had dementia. But from a terminology standpoint, you can think of dementia as an umbrella term. And so dementia is just a description that means that someone is no longer able to go through their day-to-day life on their own because of a memory and thinking problem. They now need help from, let's say, their loved ones or from an assisted living facility because, again, they don't have the memory or the functional status to get through their day-to-day life independently. And so there's, you can imagine, just dozens and dozens of things that can cause dementia. And Alzheimer's disease is the number one cause of dementia in general in the United States. You know, if you travel to different areas of the world, that might be different. For instance, head trauma may be the leading cause of dementia, or a bug that infects the brain, like malaria, could be the leading cause of dementia. So, yeah, dementia is a descriptive term, and Alzheimer's disease is the leading cause of it, as far as we understand, in the United States.
Wow. How can you detect it? How is it detected? I know with my father, it was really interesting. We thought he was slipping into Alzheimer's. And then when he took a test, it was amazing that he had like a lot of recall. Like, I remember his doctor asking him to count 100 backwards by threes, and he could do it. And I don't have Alzheimer's or dementia. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so it is very difficult to detect Alzheimer's disease or a lot of the other types of dementias out there, especially if they're in a very early stage. And I think that's why, you know, someone like me has a job, is because if someone, let's say, is in a very advanced stage, you know, they can't remember what they had for breakfast, they can't recognize their loved ones anymore, you know, that's a stage where it becomes pretty obvious that someone has dementia. But let's say someone forgot where their car was parked. You know, I do that sometimes, especially if you're using a parking garage that you use the same day, every day, or you forget the name of someone you just met and you say, why did I forget that person's name? Again, that's stuff that happens to everyone, and it happens more and more often the older we get. So it becomes really hard to diagnose dementia in the earliest stages, because those could be the same symptoms for someone who's developing those early signs of dementia. So there's a couple different things that we do to try to untangle what's going on. You know, the first thing is really just taking a detailed history and trying to figure out, are there red flag signs? You know, certain red flag signs that we hear about is if someone's getting lost in their own neighborhood and really turned around to the point where they can't even navigate home again. You know, that's something that even if you're having a bad day or an off day, you should still be able to do. Or someone who's asking the same question over and over and over again, even if they're given ample opportunity to listen to what the response is. So those are red flag symptoms that, in my mind, kind of tell me that we're not just dealing with normal aging. So once we kind of collect that history and we're worried about someone, we do more extensive cognitive testing. And these are things you probably have seen in the doctor's office, where we have people copy complex geometric shapes, or we have them remember a list of different words. And if things are worrisome or even giving us any evidence that this still could be early stage neurodegenerative disease, and that's just a fancy term for dementia. We do a brain scan, and the brain scan can also clue us in as to whether an underlying dementia could be present based upon what we're seeing with the size of the brain. We know that most of these dementias actually shrink the size of the brain. So we can get important clues from the MRI scan. And then finally, there are blood tests. And we almost always perform these blood tests because things like vitamin deficiencies, you get from, let's say, not eating the right diet, or hormone issues. So thyroid hormone, if you don't have enough thyroid hormone, that can look identical to Alzheimer's disease. So we test for things that can mimic these dementing illnesses with a blood test. So that's sort of the standard way that we evaluate for dementia. But one new thing that we can talk about more if you're interested are new blood tests. So there are new blood tests coming out for these dementias, Alzheimer's disease being a type of dementia that we have a very good blood test for now. And these are really revolutionizing our ability to diagnose the disease in an early stage, because they're about 90 to 95% accurate in someone who is still in the early stage of Alzheimer's. So these blood tests are really helping out quite a bit. So that's our general kind of overview of how we try to diagnose these diseases.
Hey, before I bring Dr. Stately on with us, I just have one question. Is there a cure, and is it hard to, I guess it's two questions, is it hard to diagnose Native Americans because of our life expectancy? And by the way, welcome Dr. Stately, Native American Community Clinic, to join in on the conversation.
Yeah, so the question about what can be done about these dementing illnesses, you know, the first thing is I always use the old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You know, if we can really intervene early on in someone's life with things like a healthy diet, with having access to educational opportunities, you know, having a type of job where you're not dealing with chronic stress and all of the bad health consequences related to chronic stress. If you're getting regular exercise early on in your life, you can really make a big dent in your future risk of developing Alzheimer's disease, even for people who are genetically predisposed. And so prevention is really, I think, the most important thing. For people who, let's say, have Alzheimer's disease, we now have some drugs that can slow down the course of the disease, but these drugs are not great. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. These drugs have a lot of side effects, and they have overall modest benefits, and they only slow down the course of the disease. So they don't stop the disease in its tracks. Patients, unfortunately, can never expect to get better or get to where they were before, but it can slow down the progressive downward course of these diseases by a little bit. It's about anywhere from 25 to 35% slowing. But these drugs are very, very expensive. They require an IV chair to sit in and get the drug infused through a vein every 2 weeks. And they don't work very well in people who have other types of dementias. In fact, if you've got another type of dementia, let's say dementia caused by strokes or dementia caused by heart disease, you know, this drug is just not going to work at all. So Alzheimer's disease is really the only disease that we have a therapy now that can slow down its course. Whereas all the other dementias, really all we can do is try to support the patient the best we can with things like physical therapy and occupational therapy and trying to have them eat a healthy diet and have access to exercise and proper caregiving, treating depression if that's there, treating anxiety if that's there. But we don't have an actual drug to go after those types of dementias yet. Again, it's an exciting area because we are learning more and more about these diseases, but we don't have a drug yet for those other types of dementias out there.
Interesting. Hey, we have Dr. Stately here, President and Executive Officer at Native American Community Clinic, and we're speaking with Dr. William Manti, Associate Professor at the University of Minnesota Medical School. Welcome.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me into the conversation. I appreciate it. Hey, Will, how are you?
Good to see you again.
You as well. Yeah, it's been a few months. I think one of the things I would wonder is like, so does do the symptoms of dementia look differently for Ojibwe or Dakota people or indigenous people, I guess? Like how the expression of it, are there cultural nuances you need to look for? And those kinds of things, those are kind of be important things for us to talk about. And I'm not sure, we're almost at the top of the hour here, bottom of the hour, whatever they call it.
So. Yeah, I'm realizing that I missed that second part of the question. Sorry about that. So our group recently published a paper talking about the distinction between hallucinations, which are kind of pathologized and thinking, oh, this person's just kind of seeing something that's not there. It's all in their head. It's just kind of, you know, it's a psychiatric issue essentially.
Yep.
And distinguishing that from a normal cultural or a normal religious or spiritual experience. And so hallucinations are a pretty big deal in evaluating dementias because certain types of dementias can lead to hallucinations more often than others. And so it can really clue you in as a doctor into what the underlying type of dementia is. And so when we ask our questions to our Ojibwe participants, are you having a vision of something that's not part of the material world?
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News brief. Former President Clinton is admitted to Georgetown University Medical Center after developing a fever. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The former president has appeared to be in good health in recent years. Back in 2004, he had a four-hour quadruple bypass operation. Since then, he's become a healthier eater and has talked about living a vegan lifestyle.
According to the House Ethics Committee report, former Republican Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz's drug use and sex with a minor violated state laws. Gaetz has denied wrongdoing. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Gaetz recently acknowledged on social media that he had behaved embarrassingly in the past, drinking and smoking more than he should have.
Luigi Mangione pleads not guilty to state charges, including first-degree murder as an act of terrorism in connection with the death of insurance CEO Brian Thompson. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
The next time Mangione is due in this court is February 21st, but we may see him before that for the preliminary hearing on the federal case, which is set at some point after mid-January.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the Packers and the Saints. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the New Orleans Saints tonight on Monday Night Football, game time 7:15. I talked to Packers linebacker Edgerrin Cooper over the weekend after winning his second NFC Defensive Player of the Week award.
It's a big accomplishment. It's just simple. I keep saying it, but I'm just here to play football, have fun out there, and do what's best for my team.
The Saints will start rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler. Has he ever played in cold weather like Green Bay before?
I haven't played a snow game, but I've played in many cold games before in the Big 12, even in the SEC. Cold, rainy, windy.
College hoops, the Badgers with a non-conference win over Detroit Mercy, 76-53. Head coach Greg Gard working with shooter John Tanjay and his technique.
You just got to keep giving him sample sizes and experience and point those things out. We need him to continue to be more efficient at a high level more consistently.
That's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Comer, sports broadcaster on WIRI. I'd just like to wish a very Merry Christmas from my family to you and yours.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sequels led the way at last weekend's domestic box office. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 led the way with $62 million and was followed up by Mufasa, the Lion King prequel, which finished with a disappointing $35 million at the U.S. box office, despite playing on 400 more screens than Sonic. Despite grabbing second place in the U.S., Mufasa was number one globally with a take of $122 million. Finishing in third place was the juggernaut Wicked, which pulled in $13.5 million at the box office, putting its grand total domestically at about $400 million. Wicked leapfrog Moana 2, which finished in fourth place with $13.1 million at the box office. The borderline religious film Homestead finished in fifth place with $6.6 million despite not so great reviews. The Brutalist, a 3.5-hour film that actually has an intermission, opened in limited release and pulled in $266,000, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was only on four screens. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, low pretty close to 20. Tomorrow, more clouds hanging around, highs upper 20s. Cloudy Christmas Day, high low 30s. A cloudy sky for Thursday, a high in the upper 30s. Rain possible Friday and Saturday as highs nudge to near 40. Right now it's 31.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny.
The Johnson Wax program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Craft Music Hall with Bing Crosby and his distinguished guests for this Christmas Eve.
Be our guests for the WFHR tradition of 30 hours of Christmas. Starting at noon on Christmas Eve, enjoy 30 hours of old-time radio, classic Christmas music, and special broadcasts of the Sunshine Polka Show, Seth Faces the Music, and Director's Cut. Exclusively on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, it's a Merry Christmas from all of us at WFHR, locally grown radio.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bond.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Luke Mathers joins us at 10:33 to discuss the ranking of Christmas treats. We'll wrap up everything on our Christmas Eve show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing Holiday Edition.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we have a really interesting show going on here. We're with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer at Native American Community Clinic. And we also have Dr. William Manti, Associate Professor at the University of Minnesota Medical School. Welcome back, you guys. And Dr. Stately, do you mind taking over here on some of the questions? This is really a great conversation you guys are having.
Sure, not at all. Appreciate it. So I hadn't had a chance to read your full article today because I actually had just got done with a three-hour medical appointment with my kid. It was really quite challenging for my day. However, so one of the things I was thinking is like, how can you give us an understanding a little bit about like how much impact that Indigenous people or Native elders have with respect to this problem? Like, how likely are they to get it? And what is one of the things that I heard you mention in the first session? You were talking a little bit about how, like, you know, for a lot of the dimensions other than Alzheimer's specifically, there isn't any treatment that's curative or slows it down in its progression. And then you said prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? And one of the things I'm wondering is, like, one of the things I always think about is, like, the earlier you catch something, the more opportunity you have to sort of treat it, slow it down, and manage it better. So having access to care is probably also really, you know, identifying it early, catching it early, and then having access to good resources to support. So kind of talk to us a little bit about what's available out there.
Yeah, so I'm sorry to hear about your kid. I hope that they're doing okay.
No, he's fine. He doesn't have much dementia.
Yeah. So there was a recent publication that came out in the journal Alzheimer's and Dementia, and it was a group out of Washington University. University of Washington. I shouldn't ever confuse them with their competitors, University of Washington. And they did, I think, the best job so far at looking at what are the rates of Alzheimer's disease and related dementias. And related dementias would be things like vascular dementia and other memory and thinking robbing disorders. And they showed that the rates in Native populations were higher than in other racial or ethnic categories in the United States, and were substantially higher. And again, don't quote me on this. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was something along the lines of 50% to even 100% higher than, let's say, the white population. So it wasn't just sort of a small statistically significant difference. You know, we're talking kind of a categorical difference. And a lot of that dementia was termed vascular dementia. And vascular dementia is just a fancy term for when the blood vessels in your brain start to peter out or get damaged. And the blood vessels in the brain are very important because every human has about 400 miles of blood vessels in your brain. So your brain just is coursing with blood vessels, and your brain is very, very thirsty from a blood standpoint. It needs a lot of oxygen and a lot of nutrients. And so when you start damaging those blood vessels from things like diabetes or high blood pressure, head trauma also damages those blood vessels, high cholesterol too, that produces a lot of wear and tear. And you have a long period of your life where your brain is just basically undergoing wear and tear. And that is a period when I think access to care and good care is extremely important. You know, going back to prevention being much more useful than addressing the issue after the horse is out of the barn already. And so, yeah, I 100% agree with you, Dr. Stately, that, you know, things like high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, head trauma, those diseases of our blood vessels, are happening for decades before the dementia shows up. And if we can get those under control in early life or midlife, we stand a much better chance of never developing dementia in the first place.
Got it. Is there any linkage to diet and dietary considerations?
Yeah, so there's more
environmental toxins, anything like that?
Yeah, you know, one of the hardest parts about studying diet and environmental toxins is that there's just so many out there, and everyone has a different exposure to them. So running like a rigorous scientific experiment where you have, you know, two humans and the only difference between one of them is the one thing that you're kind of testing, you know, let's say you want to test higher intake of high fructose corn syrup, you know, is detrimental to dementia risk. You know, it's hard to test that because everyone eats a different amount and some people have other components of their diet. Yeah. So it's very hard to run like a good experiment. But at the same time, I think more and more data is coming out that ultra processed foods are not good for you. Foods with, I'm not an endocrinologist, so this is sort of the limits of my knowledge here, but with a high, what they call glycemic index, meaning that you take the food and you get just through the roof levels of blood sugar within minutes. You know, that type of food is essentially not good for your overall heart and blood vessel health. And so having foods that takes longer to digest, where you have a slower release of sugar in your bloodstream, or foods that have, of course, other nutrients in them. Again, the ultra processed foods basically are just that. They're empty calories. They don't have really anything to accompany them that, you know, normally fruits, vegetables, you know, naturally occurring foods do have that help your overall health. I think there's more and more data out there that, you know, and food out of the ground is going to be better for you than something that you can't recognize anymore because it's been put through a machine and packaged.
Well, that's a really good segue into the next piece of this conversation, because I think one of the things that we recognize is that, like, we are moving in a lot of indigenous communities, trying to reclaim our indigenous foods, have more of those things involved in our diet, trying really hard to sort of kind of go back to the traditional ways we used to eat. And hopefully that we'll start to see some of, and in a couple of generations, we'll start to see some of these things slow down a little bit that are related perhaps to sort of like food related illnesses. But one of the things that I know is that there's been a conversation happening about how dementia or Alzheimer's is considered like the fourth type of diabetes, right? People having these conversations. And so one of our listeners just asked the question, what is the relationship between diabetes and dementia or Alzheimer's? And so my first thought was like, you definitely get vascular degradation and all kinds of challenges with diabetes long-term, specifically with like all those really high blood spikes and things like that. So there must be some type of relationship there. What's the science and evidence starting to tell us about this?
Yeah. So, you know, that term that, you know, Alzheimer's disease is sort of a different type of diabetes, you know, has a lot of validity. So there's actually a type of scan where we look to see if the brain is taking up blood sugar. And we know that people with Alzheimer's disease, actually their brain does not take up blood sugar as it should. And that's very similar to type 2 diabetes where, you know, let's say you're looking at your muscles, you know, your muscles aren't taking sugar in as it should. That sugar is just floating around in your blood vessels, but it can't get to where it needs to go. So that happens in Alzheimer's disease. I think one of the big questions, though, is kind of the chicken or the egg. You know, what's happening first? You know, we know that there's a lot of things that go wrong in Alzheimer's disease. The ability to absorb sugar from the bloodstream is definitely one of them. An unanswered question is how much is that a cause of what's happening as opposed to how much is that a byproduct or kind of an end product of what's happening? Yeah. So that's a little bit uncertain still. But again, there's a lot of validity to that term, kind of a different type of diabetes or type 3 diabetes, I've heard it called before. But the question specifically about how diabetes affects your risk for dementia, you know, you pretty much summed it up perfectly. So type 2 diabetes does damage those blood vessels. Again, your blood vessels are not happy when there's very high levels of sugar. So those sugars actually change the composition of proteins that are in the blood vessels. And when that happens, the ability for blood to bring nutrients into the brain, to bring oxygen into the brain, to have the normal elasticity that your blood has with each heartbeat, that goes away with diabetes. And as I said, your blood vessel has 400 miles. I'm sorry, your brain has 400 miles of blood vessels and really needs good blood vessels to feel healthy and to allow us to think and remember things well. So it's kind of this wear and tear process over time that, again, leads to these dementing illnesses.
Wow, that's fascinating. I'm looking forward to where the research will go in the future around some of this. It'll be really interesting to see where that happens in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's really thanks to, you know, one thing I wanted to mention too with this research is, you know, I'm really just a researcher and a doctor, and it's really thanks to people like Anna Marie Hill, who I think you had a chance to meet, Dr. Stately, who's a member of Red Lake Nation, and Neil Henderson, who's a member of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma, who really kind of allowed me to open the door and partner with the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa. And they're the ones who are really driving the ship and who own 100% everything of what we're doing, and who have the community advisors telling us what's important to focus on and what are things that are not important. But this issue of diet and diabetes and memory loss among elders is a really pressing problem, and one that I've been really grateful to be a part of, because it's really rewarding to feel like, you know, we're bringing new information that can hopefully help in the long run.
Nice.
Wow. Well, this has been amazing, Dr. Stately and Dr. Manti. We got to do this again. This is unbelievable information. We have so many
questions. Yeah, I have so many more questions I want to ask. So.
Yeah, I'd be happy to be back. Thank you for having me. It was, like I said, a genuine pleasure to see you again, Dr. Stately. And
you as well.
Thanks for having me, Robert and Haley.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, we can try and set up another meeting, because this is really unbelievable information, and it sounds like you're really in cutting edge of what's happening. I want to just give a big shout out and a big peeny gigi. Thank you for coming on. And Dr. Stately, I know your life is full, and I appreciate you coming on and helping out with this interview.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me. And Will, it's always great to see you. Hope we can spend some time together again in the near future. And yeah, you guys are doing amazing work. So on behalf of the community, thank you so much. Chimigwich, Pini Gigi, Yamya.
Congrats again on the Bush Fellowship.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bigwich for having me here. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Oh,
getting bus and train information in your language just got easier. Customers who call Metro Transit at 612-373-3333, again 612-373-3333, are able to select language options at the start of the call. To access information in Spanish, select option 2. For more information about other transit information tools, visit metrotransit.org/Spanish. That's metrotransit.org/Spanish.
Programming on Native Roots Radio is supported in part by MinSure. Looking for health insurance, but not sure where to start? MinSure has you covered. You can find discounts, compare private health plans, and see if you qualify for free or low-cost insurance. Plus, get help from an expert so you save on the coverage you need. Enroll online by December 18th for coverage starting January 1st. Get started today at MinSure.org. That's MNSure.org.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
It's okay to talk about mental health. It's okay to struggle. And it's okay to ask for help. It's important that we support one another and work together to end the stigma so that we can start to tell a different story about mental health and well-being in our community. If you're looking for support for yourself or want to find resources for a loved one, visit makeitokay.org to get started. That's makeitokay.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? How? Well, you know, we are totally blessed, Haley, to have such amazing guests and reoccurring guests, too. I have to give, like, Dr. Stately a shout-out, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, also your friend, State Representative Heather Keeler.
I was like, oh, that dementia topic we were just on for the last 3 seconds.
Hey, I don't have dementia. I have a good memory, but it's short.
Yeah. You do say that a lot. So at least you remember that saying, you know.
Shoot.
Well, I just want to throw this little statistic out that we didn't get to, because this was like mind-blowing to me. 1 in 3 Native American elders will develop dementia in their lifetime. 1 in 3.
Yeah. I believe it. Yeah.
So it's important. We have these little conversations around it.
Yeah. And, you know, just a truth be known, too, Haley being the crack producer that we have here at Native Roots Radio, there was a lot of questions that were we'd love to have them on again that you developed. And there's some amazing questions. But, you know, it always seems to me, it's like phone calls. Now, we don't take phone calls, and we tried that. And the basic thing, it's really funny, Haley, is like you can only do like 1 or 2 phone calls a segment if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And I feel like that can be like questions, too, because you got to give person time to answer them.
Yeah. Yeah, people really run with certain answers, and I mean, thankful for it. I want all the information that we can get out there. But yeah, like talking about dementia in our Native communities, and there's been a lot of different topics that I've seen. We get like a newsletter emailed to us about different topics and Zoom meetings and webinars going on around different topics like this. And specifically for Native American Heritage Month, there's a lot more going on right now. So like, last Friday, I actually sat in on a Zoom meeting. It was titled Understanding Autism in Indigenous Communities. And it had speakers like Jim Warren and Jules Edwards. I know Jules is from our Minnesota community here. But a couple like these things I took notes on, like they quoted, we don't have a word for disability in our Indigenous languages. Wow. Kind of like everyone has a role based on their gifts. You know,
interesting. And I like to point this out, too, in the same vein, Haley, is that we don't have a word for goodbye either.
Right. Yeah. We don't have words for like a lot of different things, honestly.
You know, it's see you later. You know, goodbye is like if you're passing away. And I remember the movie Skins. I don't know if you've seen that. It's an older classic Native movie. And at the end, he says goodbye to his brother, and he does pass away shortly thereafter. So it was like a point made by the director, the same guy that did Smoke Signals, and you know, and we love Smoke Signals. We can't stop talking about it. I know.
No, never. But yeah, going back to like autism, well, like just disabilities in general in our community, we didn't have a word for disability, you know, that didn't exist in our traditional times. And kind of what they said in this Zoom meeting on autism is that like everyone needs help sometimes. And characteristics of autism were spiritual roles that were often seen to be very sacred. So just because you're different in how you think and do things, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. And again, I'm thankful for these specific meetings tied around our Indigenous communities.
It's really interesting that you brought that up, because Wendy and I are doing a marathon on young Sheldon. And
oh, yeah, he has autism.
From the Big Bang Theory, you know, and all those guys have their place, like you said. If they are medicated and reformed into some other things, they're not going to be as big as concentrating on things and big as genius on certain aspects of science, for them at least. So it's funny that you bring that up, because I love that show. And and you're right. A former student of mine won a scholarship to the University of Minnesota, full ride, and he had autism and still does, as a matter of fact. And he works in the sporting field. He is a I know he worked for the Gophers, and I know he worked for the Lynx, and he's, but he's still doing it, and it's amazing. It's just a different superhero tool.
Yeah, it's a different way of thinking. It's a different skill set, and yeah, it's important to like recognize that in yourself and find like a lifestyle that helps best suit those, you know, like having autism.
Well, everybody too. As you know, I'm a great idea guy, but crossing the T's and dotting the I's is not my forte.
Yeah, so you just got to find like what your strengths are, and it's
and
all about like
people with the opposite strengths, right, Haley?
Yeah, yeah. Fill those blind spots, as they say.
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone ever say that before, but I get it.
Yeah. Well, what did you do this weekend? I went to the round dance.
Yeah, I just took it easy. Again, I'm trying to get rid of this cold. And it's funny, Wendy sent me a message just before the show started about people that are kind of doing the same thing that I am. It says, anyone else been sick for weeks? And it's not COVID. It's not the flu. And you've had headaches, sore throat, and cold, cough. And when you think you're getting better, just starts all over again. And
ooh,
that was a TikTok.
Yeah.
But
oh, well, I'm sure it was.
Oh, I'll be sad when the government takes that down.
I know. But yeah, it's important when you're feeling sick to take that time, rest up, and keep your germs to yourself, please.
Yeah, exactly. As my other job I was talking about, well, I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to come in tomorrow because I'm getting over this. And they said, well, don't come or wear a mask. And I thought, I'm not going to go. So one more day of recovery, because it's funny, I have had a rebound back. It's weird.
Yeah, but you said you were feeling better a little.
Yeah, but I don't know. As the night goes on, I get sick. I was down in the basement and, you know, the basement in my house and trying to organize. I got a really bad sore throat and I had to stop. And what's conducive down there for a sore throat other than dust?
I don't know. Probably moisture.
No. We're pretty dry down there.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. I hope we are. I got all those treasures. I don't need them getting wet.
You got the whole museum down there that hopefully will go to me one day.
There you go. Especially, I don't think my kids are interested, so that's a good thought.
Oh, no. I got dibs on a lot.
Yeah. Well, you better stop by again because I got a son-in-law that comes down and picks through it a little bit, if you know what I mean.
I've heard.
Can I
I've
have
heard.
This?
Yeah, I got to like go down there and hide some stuff.
Or just take it with you. Wendy will be, you'll be Wendy's hero.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Well, yeah.
That's all I did. I was just trying to heal up.
Well, that's important.
Friday, I can't even tell you what I was going to do. I wanted to go to the powwow, the St. Paul Public School powwow. And then, of course, there was Minnesota Rise happened.
Oh, Native Rise.
Native Rise. And I missed that. And it looked like there was a good showing. Good on them. And round dancing. I think we mixed our signals a little bit, too. I didn't know you guys were going. And, you know, when you text me, my hair was all greasy and standing up and, you know, working on the basement with the sore throat. And I went, oh, no, I'm not going. I didn't remember we had that conversation. Mm. And then you reminded me we did on the radio, but radio's kind of pretend. No, I'm just kidding.
No, never. This is like truly us on the radio. So anyone listening, this is the real us. But yeah, the round dance was fun. And I'm sure coming up, we'll be talking about Thanksgiving and other important things that happened around this time.
Yeah, definitely. And I went and saw my hearing aid specialist, so I'm getting that all set up, too.
Important. Good.
It really is, yeah. And how it works, too. It's got a little microphone in the ear. It isn't like the old days where they slap a big old thing in your ear.
Well, that's fancy.
Yeah.
I'm bougie native.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the deceased actor, Jimmy Stewart. Don't ask me how we got him. He's going to talk about his film, It's a Wonderful Life. And then Santa joins me to talk about his illustrious career.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The findings of a House Ethics Committee report conclude that former GOP Congressman Matt Gaetz violated multiple state laws related to sexual misconduct while in office. Gaetz has denied all wrongdoing. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
This is very clear that they talked to a number of alleged victims and that they also have documentary evidence to back up the allegations here.
President Biden commutes the sentences of nearly 40, all 40 federal inmates on death row. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Nearly all of the men who were on federal death row were there because of the 1994 crime bill he wrote as a senator. Now, 30 years later, he's sparing their lives.
In California, two people are rescued after a portion of the Santa Cruz Wharf falls into the ocean during a high surf warning. Mayor Fred Keeley.
I can't say that this is terribly surprising. We have a wharf and a public roadway and businesses out over a mile of open ocean.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Join us live every